Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, November 5th, 2007, and you are listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, Dr. Dick. That would be me. Today's podcast is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find a link to this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, fetish gear, and where? Right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Look for the tab that reads My Stockroom. Shopping at Dr. Dick's Stockroom is just so damn fun and, I might add, easy. Yes, sirree, fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those marital aids that you've been drooling over. You can forget about the seedy storefronts, the leering salesmen in unsavory neighborhoods, because you shop from the privacy of your computer. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit My Stockroom today. Sex toys and props are just a click away. Hey, I have this really juicy, big, uncut show for you today. But before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice Podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. This is a no-pressure voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me. So don't be shy. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show. Our first correspondent is Julie, 26, from Kentucky. She writes, I am a virgin. I am also just asking, how do I keep my first time from hurting? Some say lubricants in excess, but I'm very small. Yep, lots of lube is very important, first time and every time. But there is so much more that you can do to prepare yourself for your first fuck. Begin by knowing your body and your sexual response cycle. Is it safe to assume that even though you are a virgin to full-on fucking, that you are familiar with masturbation? If not, darling, that's where you need to start. If you enjoy pleasuring your body to orgasm, you will likely know the kind of stimulation you'll need to achieve full arousal. This is precisely the information you'll want to pass on to your partner before the first fuck fest begins, as well as throughout the entire event. The more you know about your body and the mysteries of your particular sexual response cycle, the smoother things will go for you and your partner. Nowadays, there is absolutely no reason for anyone to come to their first partnered sexual encounter uninformed about sex in general and his or her sexuality in particular. There are three main reasons why a woman might experience pain during fucking, for the first time or any time. Number one, she is inexperienced. Number two, her partner is inexperienced or doesn't know the first thing about mutual pleasuring. Three, she is not fully aroused. Right away you can see how a familiarity with your body in general and your pussy in particular will short-circuit at least two of the three main reasons right away. And while you can't account for the sexual prowess of your partner, you will be able to direct him or her on how to touch and make love to you. And that, my dear, takes care of the third main reason. One other thing. A lot of women don't relax during sex, thus discomfort, because they worry about becoming pregnant. If you are not well versed on the main methods of contraception, and actually using one of them, you're not ready to have sex. And one other thing, sexually transmitted infections ought to be a concern for you both. Don't be a fuck-up. Make sure your partner always uses a condom. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Okay, on with some quickies. Rocketman31 from Nashville, he writes, Big Dr. Dick, between busy work schedules, traveling, and such, I haven't had much time for sex. It was actually about 5 weeks span without sex or masturbation when my wife and I finally got together. I was built up big time. I knew my response would be quick, and my load would be likely triple its normal oozage. Being that it had been so long, there was not much foreplay. We just wanted to get down to hardcore humping. I was sitting on the couch, and she climbed on top. On her third downstroke, I blew like Friday afternoon work whistle. She shot off my cock back first, onto the coffee table, broke it in half, and received a few splinters in her ass. Should we replace the piece of furniture, or should I just make her kneel on the floor and rest my legs on her when she's done sucking me off in the future? You Nashville folks have all the fun. You get extra points for making me laugh. Perhaps all you need is sturdier furniture. P.S. Don't be surprised if I steal this. I blew like a Friday afternoon work whistle. That's just downright hilarious. Next, Colleen, 28, from California. She writes, I've noticed lately that I am way more horny than I normally am, and I can't get enough. And the slightest touch gets me going. Also, my natural smell from my vagina seems to be extra strong lately, and sometimes after my husband and I have had sex, I have a clear but chunky discharge. I regularly use Summer's Eve wash, and I have never smelled so strong as I do now. I feel like a dog in heat. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with you? Simply put, you're 28, and you're as randy as all get out, darling. Sounds like you're pert near feral. If you were in the wild, your super strong odor would attract males far and wide, each one wanting to satisfy your vixen lust. Good for you. And here's a tip. Quit with the Summer's Eve douches already, especially the ones with fragrances. Despite the perceived benefits of douching, there is growing evidence that any potential health benefit may be outweighed by the risks of douching with such products. Douching upsets the vaginal environment in a number of ways. It shifts the pH, causes direct irritation and inflammation of the vaginal mucosa, which is that very delicate lining of your pussy, and it washes away the good bacteria, so don't douche. It can also drive bad bacteria up into your uterus and increase the risk of pelvic inflammatory disease. Women who douche even infrequently are much more prone to common vaginal infections. All feminine hygiene products, so to speak, suppositories, sprays, cleansers, whatever, are useless, potentially disruptive, totally unnecessary, and a waste of your money. Also avoid strong chemicals such as deodorant soaps, antibacterial soaps, strongly perfumed soaps, body washes, as they can have a negative effect on the beneficial flora and lead to infections and irritation. And that clear but chunky discharge you're having after your hubby bones you? If your pussy is healthy, doll, I'd be willing to guess that's his spooge dripping out of your cunt. Ah, youth. Lulu is next, 19, from Dallas. She writes, Normally my boyfriend wears a condom, and if he doesn't, he always pulls out. But the other day he cummed inside of me, and it stung horribly. Is this normal? Hell no. That ain't normal, honey. Nobody's jizz is supposed to sting, unless it gets in your eye. And what the fuck are you two doing screwing around without always using a condom? You actually trust him to pull out in time every time? What kind of cockamamie contraceptive strategy is that? I sure as hell hope you puppies are doubling up on your birth control. He, a condom, you, the pill or a diaphragm. Slip-ups happen like clockwork for youngins like you. That's why it's better to be doubly safe than sorry. Get it done, Lulu. Clearly, your numbskull boyfriend can't use the sense God gave him, or he'd seal himself in latex before he jumped your bones. Unplanned pregnancies can ruin lives. And that stinging? Who knows what that is? Maybe it's time for you both to have a checkup. There's something going on, and it ain't good. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. Next, we hear from Mace 31, Oklahoma City. He writes, I have an issue with my current girlfriend. She and I are both on the same page with high sex drive. We both put a high priority on satisfying the other before ourselves. My problem is this. I tend to take a longer time to orgasm than my mate. Although she is physically satisfied, she is discouraged at my own sexual prowess because she believes that my climaxing, when she does, shows that I am as turned on as she is. How can I ensure a matching climax or reassure her that I still think she's sexy even though I don't climax? Holy cow, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Are simultaneous orgasms really all that important? Hey, if it happens, it happens. Fine. But personally, I think they're vastly overrated. Obviously, being turned on and having an orgasm are not the same thing. So, have your girlfriend chill out. Besides, lots of people find a huge turn-on to watch their partner come. And one can hardly enjoy the show if one is busy producing his or her own display, right? Furthermore, the added pressure to come simultaneously will only induce a serious case of performance anxiety in one or both of you. And that will sure as shootin' throw a monkey wrench into the sweet thing you guys got going on. Sarah is next, 18, from Detroit. Why do anal sex hurt so bad? What can I do to stop the pain? Nope, it doesn't always hurt so bad. Sometimes it hurts so good. No, seriously, folks. Chances are the guy who's plugging you don't know what the fuck he's doing. Just because he has a cock and you have a bunghole don't make you expert butt pirates. You kids need to read my sexual enrichment tutorial, Liberating the B.O.B. Within. That's Big Old Bottom Within. You'll find it right there on DrDickSexAdvice.com. Next, we hear from Malcolm, who's 40 and writes from beautiful downtown Johannesburg. I'm in love with a guy who is sweet as the day is long. He's everything that I've always wanted in a partner. What makes him so charming is that he has only recently come out as gay. Before this, he was married. He is not jaded like so many other guys I meet. But there's a problem. He's real vanilla. I guess that's the downside of coming out of a heterosexual marriage at the age of 35. He's happy as a clam fucking me a couple times a week. He thinks anal sex is really adventurous and sexually daring. I, on the other hand, am suffocating in the boredom. I know I sound really jaded, but I can't help it. It's just that there is so much more to sex than what we are doing. I want to introduce him to some kinky shit, but I'm afraid that I will scare him off. What the fuck should I do? I absolutely adore messages that start out, I am so in love. he or she is everything I wanted, blah, blah, blah. Because I know in a matter of only a few words, the other shoe is going to drop, and drop hard. But there's a problem, blah, blah, blah. Of course there's a problem. There's always a problem. Even with Mr. or Ms. Perfect. Or maybe because your honey is so freaking perfect. Take it from me. Sexual dissatisfaction will upset even the most tranquil and rosy apple cart and send everyone into a tizzy. Allow me to share with you something I wrote about this very issue some 10 years ago. I think you'll find that the advice is as fresh as the day it was written. So, you've met the person of your dreams, only you haven't gotten around to telling your new honey your dirty little secret. The sweet thing hasn't a clue that you're itching for some big-time bondage, or that you'd sell your soul to be dominated like the scum that you are, or you're salivating over that dildo you have tucked away in the attic, the one that could be mistaken for a floor lamp, or you're craving to be spanked till your shameless ass glows in the dark, or you want to hump his or her feet like a dog and gobble up his or her toe jam, or you have that nasty little thing about spike heels, frilly knickers, and jungle red lipstick. Never fear, Dr. Dick has heard it all a million times before. Some sorry perverts got it bad for white bread. Dear Dr. Dick, help! I'm in love with the sweetest guy or gal in the world, but our sex life is all vanilla all the time. I'm bored shitless. I know how to liven things up. You see, I have this little fetish. You can fill in the blank. But I don't know how to tell him or her about it, and I'm afraid that she or he will freak when she or he finds out. What's a perv to do? Well, introducing your partner to your personal world of kink is tricky. The whole thing could blow up in your face. But a life of pretense and sexual boredom isn't the way to go either. Why not just stand tall like the disgusting, depraved creature you are and brazenly proclaim your fetish to little Mary Sunshine? After all, unless your boyfriend or gal pal is as dumb as a post, she or he has already figured out that your mutual sex life limps. Besides, there's nothing more satisfying than corrupting an innocent. Who knows? She or he might have secrets of their own. Here's what I suggest. Casually direct the conversation to the amazing variety of human sexual expression. You could reassure your sweetie that just because some things are unfamiliar doesn't make them bad. Tell him or her that you've been waiting for your relationship to mature so that you could share the intricacies of your desires with him or her. This can be one of those precious bonding moments that Oprah is always talking about. This might be a good time to view that special video you picked up in the kink section of your local porn emporium. Invite him or her to explore your fantasy with you. Tell the little flower that your love for him or her demands that you share the fullness of your sexuality with him or her. Then, pick one of the turn-ons for the two of you to experiment with. You know, lingerie, toys, dominance, submission, role-playing, whatever. Decide on a safe word. An out-of-context word your partner could use if the experiment is heading in an uncomfortable direction. For example, if the dildo is too big or the lipstick is too red, she could say, pickles. The safe word, when uttered in the scenario, will let you know that you need to change direction or slow down without completely destroying the built-up sexual energy. If this initiation process doesn't work, Dr. Dick suggests that you cut your losses and dump the white bread. Go out and find yourself a kindred spirit, someone you won't have to apologize to for being creative in your sex play. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866 422 5680. Don't be shy, let it fly. Next, we hear from Lisa, 22. She writes from the USA. No kidding. For the past 3 months, I've been living with my boyfriend and his roommate. The three of us have been having sex regularly since I moved in. While I enjoy threesomes every once in a while, I would prefer to have sex with just my boyfriend. They are both really into it, and when I've addressed this with my boyfriend, he seems to get disappointed and changes the subject. He's a great guy, and I don't want to break up with him. I just want to have sex with him. Any thoughts? Thanks. I don't think I have enough information about your situation to be overly helpful, Lisa. I understand that the only sex you're having since you moved in with your boyfriend is three-way sex. You, your boyfriend, and his lucky roommate. But what kind of sexual connection do you have with these guys? Is it simply guys-on-girl action? Or is it a full-on bisexual romp? I, too, would wonder why my significant other only wants to share me with another guy. That's not the typical straight male response to his chick. While an occasional three-way might be fun, I'd never heard of a guy insisting that all his sex be in a group. I can guarantee you something more is going on here than what meets the eye. If your connection with these guys is simply the two guys getting it on with you, one motivation might be competition, wanting to compare themselves and their sexual prowess with one another. I can definitely imagine a couple of goofus friends going at the same chick as sport. I mean, isn't that what fraternities are for? You know, who can whip it out the fastest, who can do the best stroke, who can shoot the farthest, who's got the biggest dick, etc. If this is the case, you are about as important to the sex as a basketball is to a basketball game. You can't really play basketball without a basketball, but the game, that's all about the players, not the ball, if you catch my drift. On the other hand, if your guys are getting it on with each other while they're getting it on with you, then another dynamic is clearly at play. If that's the case, your boys might be just a little tiny bit queer. Not that that's a bad thing, necessarily. It's just that the sex is not really about you, except that you're the beard. Many a closet case, even closet bisexuals, can't face the reality of their own sexual proclivities. How do they get around having sex with someone of their own sex as often as they would like without the stigma of the dreaded homosexism? That's right, they have a three-way, and a lot of them. Either way, darling, seems to me that something's up with your boyfriend and his roomie. I know you say you don't want to lose him, but the fact is he might be gone already. Here's how you can test my theory. Give the lad an ultimatum, you or the roomie. Just don't be overly surprised when you find yourself looking for a new place to live faster than you can say, slap and tickle. I'd love to hear more from you about this curious situation. Write again if you can. Good luck. Next, Mark, 38, from Texas. He writes, I had a radical prostatectomy. I've recovered completely and would like to know if it would be dangerous for me to engage in anal sex. Thanks for the information. No, I don't think it would be dangerous, but I do suggest you proceed with caution. Here's why I say that. The surgery you had not only removed your prostate, seminal vesicles, and the tips of your vas deferens, it may have also removed surrounding fat, nerves, pelvic lymph nodes, and blood vessels. In other words, things are not as they used to be down there. Many of the men I know who have had this type of surgery report that they don't have the same sensations in their ass as they once had. And sensation is not only for pleasure. Sensation will also alert us if we are injuring ourselves. After a radical prostatectomy, men experience dry orgasms in which there is no ejaculation. There are two reasons for this. One, the two structures most responsible for the fluid in jizz, i.e. the prostate and seminal vesicles, have been removed. The vas deferens, the tube that transports sperm from the testicles, also has been shut down. And number two, the muscle that closes the bladder, allowing a guy's spunk to move out his cock rather than into his bladder, is destroyed. So instead of shooting out, what is left of his spooge becomes retrograde and shoots into his bladder. A dry orgasm doesn't necessarily affect a guy's desire for sex or his arousal, but many men do report that they feel less confident as a lover without the familiar and very pleasurable ejaculation. Luckily, as we all know, an orgasm and an ejaculation are not one and the same thing. A guy can have a very pleasurable orgasm without an ejaculation. Most men also notice a significant change in their erections post-surgery. This is also complicated if there is radiation therapy after surgery. Sometimes it can take over a year after surgery for things to get back to a semblance of normalcy. I know this is a little bit off topic, but I thought I'd mention it anyway for those in my audience less familiar with this type of surgery and its aftermath. I've had several doctors tell me that a radical prostatectomy doesn't affect the anus or rectum. They go on to say, once the patient gets over the pain associated with the surgery and the incision fully heals, he will be able to have anal sex again without restriction. While I wholeheartedly applaud their plucky optimism, I always have the same response. You know what, Doc? I'll bet you're not a big old bottom, huh? No avid butt pirate would ever make such a claim. A good part of being a bottom in ass-fucking is the joy of having a cock or a strap-on massage our prostate and all the nerve-ending rich area surrounding our prostate. When that's gone, even though one's fully healed and capable once again of taking it up the ass, anal sex will never be the same. Besides, there's often muscle damage to the area that will also complicate things. Now, allow me to repeat my answer to your question. I don't think a return to ass-fucking will be dangerous, but caution is advised. Here's what I've suggested to others who have asked similar questions. I advise you to take the time you need to reacquaint yourself with your nether regions. Find out how it feels to have a dildo up your ass. In this solitary play, you'll be able to be in charge of how deep it goes and what kind of thrusting will work for you best. Be sure to note the sensations at your butthole, your anal canal, your internal and external sphincters, in your rectum, and beyond. More likely than not, all of these areas will feel different than they once did. Some pivotal spots, like where your prostate once was, may have no sensation whatsoever. This is where you need to be careful. Just because you can't feel it doesn't mean you can't injure it. Once you've taken stock of how things feel down there and what kind of sensations you're having and where, you'll have a whole lot more information to pass on to your partners when the time comes. I'd be willing to bet that even the most sensitive partner will have some misgivings about mounting you. Most will have a fear that they might hurt you, and nothing shrinks a boner like fearful anticipation. You probably also find that some of your previous partners are not going to feel comfortable plugging away at you at all. I know it sounds cuckoo, but many a man has told me they feel creepy about fucking someone with prostate cancer, even someone who is fully recovered. Such is the nature of cancer in our culture. It's not a really big aphrodisiac. Good luck! Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I hope you enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really fun for yourself and all the pervs in your life. I mean, you can find something naughty for everyone you know in my stockroom. And you can bank on that. We have a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Not to worry. Take a look at my monthly ever-so-popular sex toy awareness feature right there on DrDickSexAdvice.com. It's chock-full of swell gift-giving ideas. You'll find a link to Dr. Dick's Stockroom right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Look for the tab that reads My Stockroom. And look for Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under health, subcategory, sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex, why, that's even better. Over and out.